Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
You like this? Once upon a time, there was a chair at Wellspring Church with your name on it. You didn't know it had your name on it. In fact, church was probably the furthest thing from many of your minds. You thought about church, you thought about a place you went growing up, made you feel guilty, made you feel terrible, kind of rolled your eyes, had no interest in it whatsoever. But nevertheless, there was a chair right here with your name on it. And eventually, you came. Somebody probably invited you, a friend, a family member. Statistics tell us that they probably had to invite you 5 or 6 times. You didn't come the first time. It sounded too weird. But they kept inviting, they kept asking, and eventually you came. And you drove onto our campus, either here or one of our locations over the last 6 years. Depending when you came, you drove onto our campus and it was crowded, and you didn't like it because it was crowded. Or it was empty, and you didn't like it because you thought we were a cult and it was empty, and you were really afraid of it. You didn't know what. But either way, you came, and you weren't really sure why you came. And you started making the list of reasons you were never going to come back. Right? Put in the parking lot. I don't like this. I don't like that. You got out of your car. You came in. And as you came in, somebody greeted you. And they were super nice. Like, they were too nice. Like, you were saying, what do you want from me? What are you trying to sell me? You people are too nice. But they were nice and you liked it. They helped you find a seat. And you came in, you sat down, the music started, and you were like, man, this is loud. Louder than any other church I've ever been to. That's why we have earplugs. But you came in, music was loud, wasn't really your thing, but you started kind of listening to it. You were really confused because as you were sitting down, some people had questions. They kept raising their hands during the songs. And you're like, well, I want somebody to answer their question. Some people had 2 questions, and you're like, is there like a question and answer time at the end? I don't really understand what's happening. But anyway, that got done, and the sermon started, and it was pretty fast, pretty quick. By the time the message was over, maybe for the first time, you kind of felt like you understood what the pastor was talking about, felt like it kind of related to you. You felt very, very clearly you knew what to do when you left. Like, you weren't going to do it because that's crazy, but you knew what you were supposed to do. And then you left. And for whatever reason, you came back. You didn't come back the next week because that's crazy. Nobody goes to church 2 weeks in a row. But, you waited a couple of weeks. It's kind of like slow playing. You get the girl's number. You can't call her the next day. You can't do that. So a couple weeks later, you came back and you liked it. Some of you made a really big mistake. You came with your kids. You brought your kids. And your kids wanted to come back the next week. That's kind of a little trick we pull. Our kids' environments are really fun. And so it's really hard to tell your kid, no, we're not going back to church. Why not? Because dad wants to sleep. Like, it doesn't really work. And so, for whatever reason, you kept coming back, right? And you came back, and you kept coming back, and next thing you knew, you started to enjoy it. And like, you started to kind of look forward to Sundays. And you really liked the music. It wasn't as loud anymore. Guess what? We didn't turn it down. We just got used to it. And the craziest thing happened. Like, it started to change your life. Like, you looked around and your marriage was getting better, and you don't know why, but you were just kind of more content at work and more satisfied, and this Jesus guy was just really starting to change your life. And you did the craziest thing. Like, you actually signed up to help serve at the church, something you'd never do. Most of you probably started with a love weekend because those are real safe, right? It's a one and done. Nobody's going to ask you to do anything else. But you signed up to serve. Maybe you joined a small group. Maybe you took a crazy step, like you got baptized, and they put your picture on social media, and you were like, whoa, that's too much. Some of you did something you said you'd never do. You actually gave money to the church. And like, your wife was like, what are you doing? And he was like, shut up, don't ask. And you just did it. Now you actually like it. Like, you look forward to Sundays. And the craziest thing that's happened is you've actually started to invite other people. And you can't believe it. You know? Something you never would have done is now a part of your life. And what's happening, and what some of you are realizing, is now Wellspring is your church. You have no idea how it happened. You didn't mean for it to happen. Kind of snuck up on you. But now, it's your church. Now, for some of you, that's not your story. Some of you, you are already a Christian, and you moved to the area, or for whatever reason, you came to Wellspring, and you just kind of came in guns blazing. You already knew the songs. Like, you were ready to go. You know, you filled out that connection card the first week. You signed up for three things. You're ready to go. But either way, now, Wellspring is your church. And you have no idea how it happened. Now, for every person in this room, there was a time when Wellspring wasn't your church. I know because I started it. I started it in my house. And if your last name is not Kelly or Goff, you weren't there the first day. And so for every one of us in the room, there was a time when there was a chair with our name on it. And we had no idea what God had in store. Now, I tell you that story because I think it sets us up perfectly for what we're going to talk about today. See, we're wrapping up our series, The Final Countdown. We're wrapping up what I believe God wants us to do to get ready, to get prepared for grand opening. And if you've been here, you know I've been asking you to do three things to prepare for grand opening. Number one, I asked you to join a circle. The reason we asked you to do that is because we believe circles are better than rows. We believe life change begins in rows, but it sticks in circles. And we want God to change your life. We then asked you last week to play your role, to sign up, to play your God-given role in his story so that God could use you to change the world. And today, we're going to talk about, number three, we're going to talk about bringing your friends. Because, see, I believe God wants to use us to reach the friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers that we all have that haven't found their chair yet. I say yet because I believe they will. I believe that's why God had us leave the YMCA. I believe that's why God had us move to this place. I believe God's been preparing us for this moment by getting in circles so that we're stronger and God's alive in us more, by playing our roles so that we can be prepared for the new people, and by stepping out and bringing our friends. Because the reason you're here is because somebody brought you. Somebody invited you. Somebody talked to you when you hadn't found your chair. And so what I want us to do today is talk about a tool that I believe God's given each of us to help us identify the people in our lives who are looking for their chair. See, the reason you found your chair, the reason you connected at Wellspring is because you were looking for something. You didn't know you were looking for something, but you were. Maybe you came and maybe you did know you were looking. Maybe you were looking for friends. You were looking for acceptance. You were looking to be freed from the guilt and shame you had about past mistakes. You were looking for peace. You were looking for satisfaction. You were looking for contentment. And your chair led you to all those things. But what you really were looking for wasn't the chair. You were looking for the man you met in the chair. Because what you were looking for was Jesus. Please hear me. Jesus is the one who is helping all those problems. He is the one that is solving all those issues. He is the one that is changing your life. I hesitate to say this because I know I'm in charge and everything, but there's really nothing special about Wellspring, right? Like, there's really not. I mean, I know I am not the greatest communicator on the grand strength. Please don't, I'm not. We have a good band, but who knows if we're the best or not, right? It's not about being the best. It's not about any of those things. Our entire goal is for you to sit in this chair and meet Jesus. Because he and he alone is the one that'll change your life. We can have the best lights and the fanciest music, but if you don't meet Jesus, you're never going to change. And when you came to this place and you sat in that chair, the specialness wasn't the chair. The specialness was that you met Jesus. And he is changing your life. And I believe you have friends and family and neighbors and coworkers just like you, who were hurting just like you were, who were searching just like you, and they have no idea there's a chair with their name on it. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a tool to help you identify people who were just like you, people who were searching and didn't even know it. And the way I'm going to do that is we're going to turn to a guy we turn to a lot here at Wellspring. His name is Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. The New Testament tells a story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then the spread of the church. Paul was a very early convert to Christianity. Paul was a pastor. Paul would go around and start churches. And what we believe is that Paul would then write letters to those churches. He would give them instructions for how to live their life. He would give them encouragement. And we believe God was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. So that means almost 2,000 years later, we can read these letters. And we can know exactly what it is Jesus wants us to do in our life. Because God was speaking through Paul. And so, wouldn't you know it, Paul speaks about this very issue. He speaks about what we're supposed to do with our friends and family, our neighbors and coworkers, the people that are in our life that are still searching, the people that are in our life that haven't found their chair yet. In the letter to the church at Colossae, Paul very clearly explains what's about to happen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. If it's not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And here's what Paul says. One verse today. It's very simple. Here's what Paul says we're supposed to do. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. He's saying, look, you're going to encounter people who haven't found their chair yet. You're going to encounter people that don't know me and don't know Jesus. You got to live wisely amongst those people. The first thing I want you to notice is we are supposed to be around those people. Please hear me. We are supposed to be around those people. We are not supposed to cocoon ourselves. We are not supposed to shun those people. Paul expects us to have relationships with those people. You may say, Trey, how do I do that? Hey, guess what? Next week, we're starting a brand new series called 50 Shades of Day, which is all about how to balance this act of having friends that are not Christians, having friends that are Christians, and how we balance it. It's a real tough situation. It's hard to balance. We're going to spend a couple weeks talking about it. If you know any teenagers, get them here for the next few weeks. Because we're going to talk about things that literally can transform their future. But make no mistake, Paul says we're supposed to live wisely amongst those who are not believers. We're supposed to be around those people who are not believers. And when we're around them, we're supposed to live wisely. We're supposed to be careful. We're supposed to work not to offend them. We're supposed to not pick unnecessary fights with them. We're supposed to look for ways to connect with them. We're supposed to look for ways to tell them about Jesus. We're supposed to look for ways to help them find the hope we have found. We're supposed to look for ways to help them find their chair. How do we do that? Well, we're wise. And we make the most of every opportunity. See, what Paul's telling us is that we're going to have opportunities. You have opportunities. The same opportunities the people had that invited you. How many of you have been having a conversation with a friend or family member, someone who's kind of close but not super close, right? And you have a conversation, and in the middle of the conversation, they go deeper than you were ready to go. Like, you're just sitting there talking about stuff, and they didn't even mean to do it. It just kind of slips out, right? And they say something about, well, yeah, my marriage is really struggling. Yeah, I just wasn't prepared for losing my job. I wasn't ready for this to happen. Man, things are just, I don't know. And you have to decide, okay, do I lean in this moment? Or do I just go awkward and walk away? Right? See, what I believe Paul would tell us is that those moments are opportunities. They're opportunities to talk about the hope we have. They're opportunities to make the most of the situation. So what I want to do is I want to give you a tool. And this is a tool that I actually picked up from one of my heroes in the faith. This guy's a pastor, and this is what they do at his church. And when I heard him talk about it the first time, I was like, man, that's amazing. And as I prayed about it, I was like, this is perfect for the week before grand opening. Now, I need to tell you, what we're going to talk about right now is not in the Bible. Paul doesn't say this, right? It's just something that I've prayed about and I've seen other churches do, and it seems wise. It seems the proper way to make the most of every opportunity in your conversations you have with your friends and family, your neighbors and coworkers, as they're talking to you. When they give you an opportunity, I want you to step into it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a tool today, something to listen for. Because when you listen for these things, it's a good indication that whether they know it or not, they're searching for their chair. Just like you were searching for your chair. So what I want you to do today is I want to challenge you to begin listening for the three little nots. Listen for the three little nots. When you're having conversations with people, I want you to listen for these three little nots. Now, here's why this is important, right? I'm the pastor of this church, right? I've been here from the very beginning. It's my job to try to reach people. But I'm going to confess something to you today. There's a lot of times I talk myself out of inviting somebody to this church. Do you know why? Because it's very awkward to say, hey, come listen to me talk. It's very weird. Man, you should come to my church. The speaking is amazing. Who's the speaker? Me. I guess it's weird, right? And see, I know the church. I know what series we're about to do. I know what the next series is going to be. I know what the series is 6 months from now. And so what I can do is I can start to say, you know, I can invite them now. But, oh, man, we're doing a series in a couple of weeks. And oh, it's just the best series in the world. I should really wait and invite them then. I don't know what to do. And you can get paralyzed by it, and the moment's gone, and they're out. So see, these three little knots are triggers that actually help you know, okay, guys, doing something right now. I'm going to step into this moment. I'm going to step in and I'm going to invite them to discover their chair, because it's in that chair they're going to meet Jesus, and Jesus will change their life. So what are the three little knots? What are the three statements that I want you to listen for? Knot number one, three little knots, not in church. Man, if somebody's ever talking to you and they use the words, we're not in church, we used to go to church, we're out of church, we just moved to, we haven't found a church yet, boom, invite them to your church. Right then, that's like a gimme. It's like a t-shirt that says, please invite me to your church. You know? Because it's not normal to just be talking about church. So if church comes up, boom, jump in. We're not in church. Hey, you should come to my church. It's your way to invite. Knot number two, not going well. Man, things are just not going well. We sent our 5-year-old to kindergarten. Man, it's not going well. He's crying every day. It's not going well. I got fired. It's not going well. I'm struggling with my marriage, man. It's not going well. When somebody starts talking to you about how things are not going well, they're opening themselves up to you. They're trying to take it to the next level, whether they realize it or not. And what I want us to do is when we hear that, I want to be tuned to, this is an opportunity. I want you to jump in, and I want you to invite. The third little knot is not prepared for. Man, I just wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared to still be single in my 30s. I wasn't prepared to be a single parent. I wasn't prepared for my parent to move back in with me and have to take care of my parents again. I wasn't prepared for this new job. I wasn't prepared for this promotion. I wasn't prepared to have 5 kids. Nobody's prepared for 5 kids. There's this comedian. His name's Jim Gaffigan. He's got 5 kids. One of his best lines is people ask him all the time, what's it like to have 5 kids? And he says, imagine that you're drowning and someone hands you a baby. Not prepared for. And what I want you to do is I want you to listen for these. When you're having conversations, when somebody talks about not in church, not going well, not prepared for it, I want you to condition yourself to immediately be wise and hear it and say, I got to make the most of this opportunity. Step into the moment and say this. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. Really? You should come to my, in fact, let's say it all together, right? I want you to really punch the really. All right? Ready? Let's go. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. Both services, you guys did it great. Didn't have to do it twice. You nailed it. But just think about that. Whenever you hear the three little knots, whenever you hear somebody open up their opportunity, when you hear somebody being vulnerable, when they're talking about how they're struggling, that is your opportunity. That is your moment to step in and make the most of that opportunity. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but what about this week? Or what about that? It's Labor Day weekend. I'm not sure. Here's why I want you to do it. Here's why I'm saying, really, you should come to my church this Sunday, right? It's because God works in mysterious ways. It doesn't matter what the series is. It doesn't matter who's speaking. All we need to do is get them in the chair so they can meet Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about TJ. It's not about who's on the stage. It's about introducing people to Jesus. And let me just give you a little help here, right? The Holy Spirit does stuff in y'all's lives while I'm speaking that I have no idea about. Like, I can't tell you how many times somebody will come up to me and say, man, I just got to tell you, when you said da-da-da, like it changed my life. And I say thank you, and I think, I didn't say that. Did not come out of my mouth. Or it'll be something like, it was a throwaway line. Man, I said, man, that changed my life. I'm like, man, I just made that up. What are you talking about? You know, honestly, it's like the best thing about my job. Like, all I have to do is come up here and tell me what Jesus tells me to say. And then the Holy Spirit helps me change you, and you think I did it. And it's fantastic. It's really great, but I didn't. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. It's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can do that any week. So what you have to trust is, if you're having these conversations, if these things are happening, God wants them to come this Sunday. If you were here about a month ago, we did a series all about inviting. And one of the weeks, our bottom line was this. It was, when God prompts, he also prepares. And if you weren't here, what that meant was, if you ever get the feeling, man, I'm supposed to talk to this person about God. When somebody brings something to your mind, when I'm talking about inviting in here, and that person comes to your mind, we call that the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And what we learned in that week is that when God prompts you, he prepares them. So you can trust when God's prompting you to take a step, he's preparing them to hear the step. And what I'm trying to give you now is some tools, some handles to know when God might be prompting you in a conversation. When you hear the three little knots, when you hear that things are not in church, not going well, and not prepared for, you can trust that that is God prompting you into the moment. And he's preparing them. Again, if somebody tells you that their marriage is not going well, they're asking for help. Can you help them? No. Can Jesus help them? Yes. Where do they meet Jesus? In their chair. There's a chair with their name on it. And it's waiting just for them. So what I want to challenge you to do this week, and really for the rest of your lives, is in your conversations with your friends and your family, your neighbors and your coworkers, as you're talking about things, when you hear the three little knots, when you hear them talk about, I mean, we're just not in church right now, I don't know, we used to go, and I know it kind of burned me, I don't want to go back. When you hear somebody talking about how things are not going well, it's just not good. Things are falling apart right now. When you hear somebody say, man, they were just not prepared for this, the response is, really? And don't say it too excited. Somebody tells you their marriage is falling apart, you don't want to go, really? Don't do that. You know what you can say? Really? Yeah, mine was too. Yeah, I've been there. You should come to my church this Sunday. Because there's a chair with your name. Actually, don't tell them that. That'll freak them out, man. Do not. They'll be like, what? Now, if you really want to freak people out, what you could do, you can come this week. We'll actually tape some names under chairs. You can sit them there next week and have them do the service and be like, look under your chair. Look under your chair. My wife is saying, no, we're not going to do that. So we're not going to do that. But see, you know it's true. Because there was a chair with your name on it. And I believe that God now is asking each of us to be wise in how we relate to those who don't believe. And to make the most of every opportunity. When we hear the three little knots, step into that moment. Now, I know you might forget the three little knots, so we kind of got some things for you. I want to help you to remember. On your way out today, we've got a little chip clip. It's actually a magnet, okay? You can put it in your refrigerator and put it on your filing cabinet at work, but like hide it. Like, you don't want other people seeing it. It's kind of weird. You're like, what is that? Like, oh, nothing. But put this somewhere where you're going to see it every day, right? And what it says on the magnet, it says, when God prompts, he also prepares. So he's reminding you of these things. And then we've got a little card attached to it that actually has the three little knots on it. Not in church, not going well, not prepared for. And then in the clip, we have invite cards. Isn't that convenient? They just clip right in. And when you run out of invite cards, guess what it says? Please visit the info desk for more invite cards. It's like a reminder. It's right there. So see, on the way out, we want you to grab these, right? Put it somewhere you can see it, because here's what's going to happen. This week, you're going to be having a conversation. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're cooking dinner. You got it on the refrigerator. Maybe you're at work. You're having a conversation with a coworker, and they're going to start talking. And you're going to hear them say one of these, and your brain's going to go, oh, that's one of the three little knots. I think it is. And you're going to look and you're going to go, it is. It is. It's one of the three little knots. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm so scared. I'm so scared. And you're going to go, really? Really? You should come to my church this Sunday. We're having grand opening. Here's your card. I mean, hopefully you're better than that, but who knows, your first time? Who knows? But you're going to get into the habit. And you're going to discover when God prompts, he also prepares. Now, they may not say yes. Think about how many times you said no before you said yes. Think about how many times you had to be invited before you came. But looking back now, aren't you glad those people kept inviting? Aren't you glad they kept asking? So you be the same person. You do that for them. You invite them. You step into their moment. And when you hear the three little knots, you respond, really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. I just want you to imagine, just imagine, what would happen at work? What would happen at school? What would happen in your neighborhood? What would happen if you decided to get serious about making the most of every opportunity? What would happen? How many people could God use you to introduce to his son? How many people could God use you to play a role in changing their life? See, that's the whole reason we've done all of this. The entire reason we moved, the entire reason we asked you guys to commit to give above and beyond your regular giving, the entire reason we did it all was to create more chairs. Because there's way more people out there than there are in here. And there are people in your life right now that have a chair with their name on it. And it's in this chair. It's right here where their life is going to change because they're going to meet Jesus. And he's going to heal their marriage. And he's going to set them free from addictions. And in this chair beside him, he's going to change their spouse's life. And then he's going to change their kids' lives. And then he's going to change their grandkids' lives. And family trees are going to be transformed. All because you decided to be wise. And all because you decided to make the most of every opportunity. All because you decided to listen for the three little knots. Listen for the people who are searching without knowing they're searching. And you decided to step into the moment and help them find their chair. Now, some of you know you were here a couple of weeks ago. We want to invite everybody to attend Wellspring. But you know, some of the people, we're going to have to bring them. Remember a couple weeks ago? Because they're paralyzed. They can't bring themselves. They're paralyzed by fear, guilt, shame, doubt. I don't know what it is. So in this week, as you're going out, you're listening for the three little knots, and you're inviting everybody, I want you to kind of keep a little saying in your mind that we've kind of started using around here at Wellspring. You've probably seen it on social media. And it's really my challenge for you, not just today, but forever. When you're out there, when you're being wise, when you're listening, when you're thinking about your friends, when you're figuring out ways to reach them, here's what I want you to remember. We're called to invite everyone and bring someone. Remember we said a couple weeks ago, you can invite a stranger, but you can only bring a friend. So between now and next Sunday, I want to challenge you, invite everyone. Listen, talk, have conversations. Invite everyone. But next Sunday, bring someone. Bring someone back. And you say, Trey, who do I invite? Who do I bring? It's very simple. Who in your life is using the three knots? Who's constantly talking to you about how things just aren't going well? Who's constantly talking to you about how they just weren't prepared for it? How they used to go to church, but they fell out and they know they should go back. But man, they're just so busy. You know, they got this, they got work, they got football. They got travel sports. They're just so busy. They know they should be back, but they just don't have the time. Really? Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. This Sunday's grand opening. There's literally never been a better time to invite, a better time to bring in the history of our church. Because everything we've been doing for the last 6 years leads to this moment. Do you guys get that September 13th is literally our six-year anniversary? We started September 13th, 2009. And 6 years later, September 13th, 2015, God has positioned us to reach more people than we've ever reached before. I don't think that's a mistake. So who will you invite? Who will you bring? Will you be wise? Will you make the most of every opportunity? We're giving you a ton of opportunities on your way out. We also have a card here. It talks about everything that Danny and Abby talked about. T-shirt Tuesday, Carolina Company, the social media blast. We want to swing every club we have. We're playing every card in our deck. We want to invite everyone. You can participate with us all week as you invite everyone and bring someone. Invite everybody. Bring somebody. Because there's someone in your life right now. There's a friend, there's a family member, there's a neighbor, there's a coworker, and they have no idea that they're looking for their chair. They're struggling. They're hurting. And you well know, Jesus has never crossed their mind. And they're hurting. God's put you in their life for a reason. And all he's asking you to do is to be wise. And all he's asking you to do is make the most of this opportunity. When it opens it up, when it opens itself up, when it presents itself, when you hear the three little knocks, step in. Really? You should come with me to my church this Sunday. Wellspring, God didn't move us here so we could have more room. God moved us here so we could reach more people. Start Sunday. It's our shot. It's our chance. What are we going to do with it? Join me, will you? Let's play our part. Let's make the most of every opportunity. And let's watch Jesus change the Grand Strand forever. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you that you are so kind and generous to use us to accomplish your purposes. Lord, I pray right now you give us wisdom. Bring to mind people in our hearts who are constantly using the three little knots. Give us opportunities this week to make the most of that opportunity, to jump in, to step in, and say, really? You should come to my church this Sunday. Because, Father, we know if we can just get into the chair, they'll meet you. You and you alone can change everything. Jesus, it's because of you. Jesus, it's for you. Jesus, it's all about you. And Jesus, it's only because you make it possible that we do any of this. Help us this week point people to you. And we pray that you change their lives like you've changed ours. Give us opportunities this week to invite everyone. And give us an opportunity to bring someone this Sunday. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.